This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah ala hilmihi ba'da ilmihi wa ala afwihi ba'da qudratih. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نبئ عبادي أني أنا الغفور الرحيم وأن عذابي هو العذاب الأليم صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are alhamdulillah in the last ashara of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadat and our humble efforts during the last 20 days. And may Allah ta'ala make this coming 10 days even more greater in blessings and more greater in us exerting ourselves in seeking the favors and seeking the blessings and the forgiveness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, today is the first night of the last ashara, and I think it is just but appropriate that we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our coming closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this regard, I just want to say that there are two dimensions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I heard this from the great scholar in Pakistan, Hazrat Maulana Ihtisham al-Thanvi, rahmatullah alayh. And he said, one dimension of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what is known in Urdu as Shani Hakimiyat, the power, authority, and the kingdom of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This particular dimension of Allah ta'ala is that Allah ta'ala is the king of all kings. He is the lord of all lords. He has full control and power over each and every human being and each and every one of his creation. So this is the power of Almighty Allah, the shan and the quality of Allah Ta'ala's authority and his kingdom and his greatness and his majesty. So that is one dimension of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That dimension of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands that we, you and I, we appear before Almighty Allah in complete humility and submission. That Allah is the King of all kings, and we are the weak servants of Almighty Allah. We are the subjects of Allah Ta'ala. We are the subject of Allah Ta'ala's kingdom. That demands we must come in front of Almighty Allah in humility. Now, in Salat, for example, Salat is indicative of this relationship. Allah is the King of all kings. You and I, we come before Almighty Allah in humility. We stand in straight lines. Then we go down into ruku. Then we go down into sijda. We place our most respectable parts of our body, the forehead, and we make sijda in front of Almighty Allah and say, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala. Glory be to you, Allah. You are the greatest. See, that is one dimension of Allah Ta'ala. And I will give you examples with regard to that from the Quran as we go along. Then there's another dimension of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Hazrat Maulana used to refer to as Shani Mahbubiyat, the grace and the elegance and the muhabbat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this dimension of Almighty Allah is such that all the qualities that evoke the feeling of love for anyone, they are found in its most beautiful manner and a beautiful way in the being of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this particular way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the beloved in the true sense. And you and I, we are in search of the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the quality of Almighty Allah known as Shani Mahbubiyat. The greatness of Almighty Allah ta'ala is on its place, majesty, the kingdom. In one way, Allah Ta'ala is, our relationship with Allah Ta'ala is one of love, and we are seeking love. The sad part is that you and I, when we talk of love, We only think of love in the sense between male and female. And unfortunately, sometimes it is in the form of illicit relationship. That's how we talk of love. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the believers, ta'alluq with Allah ta'ala is one of love. And that must also be one of the considerations when we consider our relationship with Allah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that all our relationship with Allah ta'ala be one that we have love, we have consideration, we have... You see, there are four different ways and four different manners you can have relationship with anyone. And Allah ta'ala in the Quran has reserved, and Allah ta'ala has made mention of all of those four categories of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the first stage of relationship with anyone is, you are inclined to that person. You are inclined to the person. So that is the first stage. You know, whether it be any type of relationship, the first stage is you are inclined to that particular person or that being. So Allah ta'ala in the 11th supara says, وَإِنَّا إِلَى اللَّهِ رَاغِبُونَ. To Allah should be your inclination. Now the next step after that, by the very nature of human relationship, is desire. First you are inclined, then you start desiring the one that you are loving or you are inclined towards. The next step is desiring. Desire. So Allah Ta'ala makes mention in the 17th supara of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, whomsoever you worship besides Allah, لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا, they can't even create a fly. وَإِنْ يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ, and even if the fly takes something from them, they can't retrieve it. That is how weak human being is whom you are relying upon. Allah Ta'ala tells you, ذَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ, very weak is the one who desire such creation besides Allah, and very weak is that you are desiring. So Allah Ta'ala tells us, matloob, and if you want to make someone your matloob, someone your desire, make Allah your desire. Then the third type of relationship is muhabbat, love. So you incline towards someone. Let's say, for example, you want to get married. So you see a woman and you first are inclined towards her, then you desire her, then you love her. So that is the stages of relationship. And the next stage of relationship after rahbat, after inclination, after desire, is love. And what does Allah Ta'ala say is in the second supara, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Subhanallah. The believers love Allah Ta'ala intensely. The believers love Allah Ta'ala intensely. Brothers, this type of relationship with Allah, we don't know. We only know about Allah Ta'ala said this is halal, this is haram, which undoubtedly is one dimension which I made mention of. But this type of relationship where we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah Ta'ala says the believers love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passionately. They love Allah Ta'ala intensely. Their love is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, amongst our great scholars, one of the scholars that had the greatest amount of love and he expressed that love was Imam Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi. And one of the tragedies of the age, I shudder when I see and I read this. Imam Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi was so overwhelmed by the love of Almighty Allah Ta'ala that he expressed his love in poetry. And now today you see people, when they have love for their, you know, wives, or sometimes aliyadu billah, even worse, towards in an illicit manner towards, you know, another woman, they use the quotation of love of Rumi rahmatullah alayhi. They're using and quoting, you know, Jalaluddin Rumi with regard to what he had said about love, as if he had made mention of that love towards human beings. No, he made mention of that love in all his poetry is about love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we are misusing in today's time. And then the fourth stage of relationship is only now for Allah Ta'ala, not any human beings. And that is when you make ibadat of Almighty Allah. And that is why it is put for so beautifully put forward in a zikr. La marghubi illallah. لا مطلوبي إلا الله لا محبوبي إلا الله لا إله إلا الله. There is no inclination but to Allah. There is no desire but to Allah Ta'ala. There is no love but to Allah Ta'ala. There is no one worthy of worship besides Allah Ta'ala. Brothers, these two dimensions of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala brings about different type of situation within us, which has been encapsulated in the hadith, Al-Imanu Bayn Al-Khawfi Wal-Rija. Iman is between fear of Almighty Allah and seeking the forgiveness and having hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah. The first one is Shani Hakimiyat, the power and authority of Allah. And the second one is Shani Mahbubiyat, wanting the love of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has made mention of both of these qualities. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي. I have full control over my bondsmen. I have full control over my servants and my creation. To show you how much control he got, إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ, when the time of your death comes, تَوَفَّتْهُ رُسُلُنَا, he sends his messenger, Malikul Maut, وَهُمْ لَا يُفَرِّتُونَ, never goes against the command of Allah. Whether you want to go or not, whether you are ready to go or not, whether you are prepared to go or not, when we were small we used to play hide and seek, ready or not, I'm coming. Whether you are ready or not, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sends his messenger, Malikul Maut, and you have to go. Shows you don't have power and authority over your life, Allah Ta'ala has power and authority. So Allah Ta'ala makes mention of his power and authority in various verses in the Quran. Then Allah Ta'ala says, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah is the King of all kings, the ruler of all rulers. He gives rulership and he gives kingdom and he gives power and authority to whomsoever he wishes. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. And he gives respect to whomsoever he wishes and he does graces whomsoever he wishes. All this is Allah Ta'ala's qualities of Hakimiyyat, the power and authority of Allah. And now I'll give you another example of the power and authority of Allah. Ninth Supara of the Holy Quran. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. Oh Allah, show me. Show me, I want to see you. Rabbi arin, qala lan tarani. Allah Ta'ala told Musa, Musa, you can't see me. You can only see me in Jannah. Human being will only be able to see Allah Ta'ala properly in Jannah. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala shows people visions, but through love, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the true seeing of Allah Ta'ala will be in Jannah. So, لَن تَرَانِي. Oh Musa, you can't see me. فَلَكِنْ انْزُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ. But look at this particular mountain. فَإِنِ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. If it stays on its place after I reveal my majesty and my greatness towards it, فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. Maybe then you will be able to see me. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ. When Allah Ta'ala revealed His greatness and His tajalli to that mountain. Jami al-Tirmidhi, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's riwayat is made mention that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when reciting this ayat, said that on that day Allah Ta'ala revealed just this little bit of His tajalli, this little bit of His magnificence and His greatness. Can you imagine the Mount of Everest and you see that entire Himalaya, you know, peaks, all of them, and Allah Ta'ala just showing that little bit of His tajalli. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى. And all of that entire mountain was raised to the ground. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى وَخَرَّ مُوسَى سَعِقًا. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam fell down unconscious out of the greatness of Almighty Allah, the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala, the magnificence of Allah, the majesty of Allah Ta'ala. فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَ, when he regained consciousness, he said, Subhanak, glory be to you Allah, tubtu ilayka, I ask for forgiveness, making such a request that it was unable for me to fulfill. So that is one dimension of Allah. There's another one of love. Brothers, you and I, we forgot this. We forgot this love for Almighty Allah because of materialism, only thinking about love in the sense of, you know, a romantic type of love. This love of Almighty Allah, you know, and that particular love wants you to be able to come closer towards Almighty Allah, wants you to see Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But you will only see Allah Ta'ala in Jannah. And it will be one of the greatest aspects of Jannah will be to see Allah. That the particular person's face will be radiant when he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes in the riwayat that on a Jummah, according to the Jummah of the day of, you know, Qiyamah in Jannah, that when we go and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we return, and then the wives and the urs will say, you came and you're looking even more fresh and you're looking even more beautiful by you seeing Allah ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of one riwayat in his Ihya. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, the first time you see Allah, your first gaze will last for 800,000 years. Your first gaze will last for 800,000 years to see Allah. Now that is one way you see Allah. There's another way of meeting Allah, meeting our beloved. And that is Allah Ta'ala comes down to your level. And that happens on these nights. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr laylatul qadri khayrun min alf shahr تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم in كل أمر. Sometimes when you see that, you know, ministers and prime ministers want to meet one another, how do they meet? They first send the minister of foreign affairs, go and send a message, we are coming to meet you. So the minister comes and he comes and gives the message of the other prime minister. Allah Ta'ala says on this particular night of Laylatul Qadr, I come down towards you. I come down to the first heaven. The first heaven, ulama have said, it is the heaven just above the our dunya. And meaning Allah Ta'ala doesn't come physically down, but Allah Ta'ala's tajalli, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and His mercy is inclined towards the people of this earth. And who does He send? Who does He send? Tanazzalul malaika. He sends down the malaika. Warruhu fiha. And He sends down Hazrat Jibreel. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down to human beings to come see what you are doing on this night of Laylatul Qadr. Ulama have written that the reason why the angels, Allah Ta'ala sends down the angels, when Allah Ta'ala created human beings, then the angels complain to Allah about the creation of humankind. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَائِرٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Recall the time when Allah Ta'ala told the Malaika, I'm making my Khalifa, my representative on this earth. قَالُوا وَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْلِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. And the angel said, oh Allah, are you creating people who are going to create corruption and who are going to spill blood? And in many ways, we in today, our interaction and our amal, it actually is a manifestation of the complaint of the malaika. We were not supposed to be like that. Allah Ta'ala had a greater objective for us. But the angels complain that this human being, look at what they're going to do on this earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night, Allah Ta'ala sent down the malaika and said, oh malaika, the people whom you complained about, that they are going to make corruption on the earth, go and see them, they are sitting in itikaf. They are sitting in it. They left. They left their home and they left their woman and their wives and children. And they came and sat in my masjid. So Allah Ta'ala sends down the malaika on Laylatul Qadr. Because they used to complain. And they complained about the creation of humankind. And that creation was out of their love for Almighty Allah. Because they couldn't, you know, fathom that a creation that Allah created with so much of expectation, that they are going to create corruption on this earth. Nevertheless, there's one dimension with regard to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to turn towards Almighty Allah in ibadat and asking Allah ta'ala for our needs. These are the last 10 nights, my dear respected brothers. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill our needs. No one can fulfill it but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهِي يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِدُرْ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ. If any difficulty comes upon you, no one can remove it but Allah. وَهِي يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِخَيْرٍ. Whatever good comes upon you, فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. It is because of Allah Ta'ala having qudrat over it. Turn towards Almighty Allah. I like to make mention of this, that Hazrat Mawlana Tawla Shah Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, one of our great scholars, used to say, about our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he used to say, میں نے ایک حسین دیکھا, حسینوں میں احسن نظر آیا, جمیلوں میں اجمل نظر آیا, کریموں میں اکرم نظر آیا. I saw a person who was the most beautiful of anyone whom you could lay claim to greatness or beauty, the most graceful, the most elegant, such a great human being, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala took an oath on his life, la amro. Allah Ta'ala took an oath on his speech, wa qilihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa ma ataakum ar-rasul fakhudhu. When he said yes to something, it became halal. Wa ma nahakum anhu fantahu. When he said no to something, it became haram. Allah Ta'ala took an oath in the place where he resided, because he resided in that place. La uqsimu bihadha al-balad wa anta hillum bihadha al-balad. Such a great human being. He had such great qualities beyond what you and I can understand and make mention of and listen to. And he said, for a moment I thought that let me go to this great human being for assistance. Whenever I had a problem, let me go to him and I will ask him for assistance. So he said, went through the means of his biography, went through the means of his life, went through the means of history. I went to go and knock at his door. I went to knock at his door that perhaps he can help me for my challenges. What did I find? The entire creation is sleeping. And this great human being, he is in front of someone else asking for assistance. And he's making dua for this ummah, for you and I. إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. Oh Allah, if you punish my bondsmen, if you punish my ummah, and you punish this bondsman of yours, my ummah is, فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ, they are your bondsmen, they are your servants, you can do so. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, and if you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, you have the power to forgive them, you have the wisdom to forgive them. Oh Allah, I ask you for forgiveness for my ummah. Then the person said, Mawlana Shah Bukhari used to say, then my mind made a decision, my heart made a decision, don't go to such great people for assistance. Go to that being where even such great people go for assistance to. Go to that being where even such great people go and ask assistance from. And that is what we are supposed to do. Turn towards Almighty Allah, seeking the forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Tell unto my bondsmen that they must call out towards me. I will respond. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Those who are arrogant in making my ibadat, anyone else, any other human being, you ask him for assistance. My dear respected elders and brothers, you can ask him one time, you can ask him two times. But the third time he'll get annoyed. He'll start ducking you. He'll start taking another route. He'll take another route. This person is going to ask me. Allah Ta'ala says, if you don't ask of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala gets angry. And Allah Ta'ala makes mention, if you don't ask of Allah, it shows your arrogance. And it shows that you are independent of Allah. سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. And when you regard yourself independent from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will with disgrace put you in Jahannam. Therefore, my dear respected brothers, let us turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is Allah ta'ala far that when we make dua, we must speak, make dua loudly? Or is Allah ta'ala near that when we make dua, we must make dua, you know, and we must say it silently, we must whisper? Allah ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي. And when my bondsmen ask you about me, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, tell them, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I'm very close to them. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ. I listen to their call when they call out to me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. Let them call out towards me. Let them bring iman upon me that I might guide them. Allah ta'ala is waiting for us to ask for forgiveness. And this particular forgiveness, wallahi, my dear respected brothers, Allah Ta'ala, you and I, you must remember, kullu bani adam khata'un. Each and every one of us are sinners. Some more, some less. Those who are less, they are fortunate. But each and every one, besides the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, who are masoom, who are free from sin, sahaba, who are protected, all of us, we are sinners, some more and more less. Now we have to turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is one of the qualities of the Anbiya, you know, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Iblis, when he did wrong, what did he say? Rabbi bima aghwaytani aliyadu billah. Oh Allah, because of you led me astray. And when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was told and he was expelled from Jannah, what did Adam alayhi salatu wasalam say? The Quran puts it so beautifully. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam did not know what to say. You know, because the first time there is something that led to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becoming angry. So you know the example ulama have given, I heard this from one of our ulama and one of our great scholars. He said, you see, you one day, you shout to a small child. A child is small, 3-4 years. He did something serious and you shout at him. Now first time he heard his parents, who normally are always forgiving, always merciful, always kind, all of a sudden they shout at him. And he's now astounded. He's in shock. And he's like, you know, he doesn't know what to say. He's like, you know, what he's saying in Urdu, Hakka Bakka. He is completely astounded. And then the father says, okay, now he realizes he may have overstepped. And he tells the son, all right, say sorry. So the child says sorry, and the father hugs the child. So Allah Ta'ala makes mention in the first supara, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting and he said, what must I do? I did something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken me out of Jannah. What must I do? Allah Ta'ala put it upon his tongue and his heart to say these words, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh Allah, I have done wrong unto my soul. If you don't forgive me, you don't have mercy upon me, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. I will be a loser. Turn towards Almighty Allah. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah is so forgiving. This particular aspect of Shan and Mahbubiyat, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in a hadith, a person committed 99 murders. 99 murders. And then he started regretting. Yeah, what I have done to my life? So he went to an Ali, went to a particular scholar. And he went to a scholar and said, I committed 99 murders. Is there any hope for me? So sometimes you have to go to ulama, you know, who are kind and compassionate, not only harsh and rigid, who will perhaps, I don't know how they will perhaps, you know, deal with the situation. So this person said, no tawbah for you. You are destined to Jahannam. So he said, I did 99, let me complete my century. Khalas. So he killed that one also. Right? So he finished his century, finished 100 people he murdered, but he still had that regret. So he said, what must I do now? So he said, someone told him that particular village, this particular place, there's an alim who is very kind, compassionate. Go to him, maybe he will show you a way to make tawbah. So he went. On his way, Allah Ta'ala decreed, Allah Ta'ala knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life. Now the angels of punishment, they came. He committed 100 murders. Let us take him, we must go and give him and take him to Jahannam. And the angels who were the one, angels of forgiveness, angels of mercy, No, he was going towards seeking repentance. He was going to ask for forgiveness. He was going to change his life. We are going to take him. And the matter came in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, measure the two distances. Measure the two distances. See where he is closer to. And they found that he was one span closer to that particular village and city where he was going for tawbah, where he was going to change his life, where he was going to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And Allah Ta'ala told, tell the angels of mercy to take his ruh. I have forgiven him. Because he was on the way to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Let each and every one, brothers, let us make a firm intention that we are going to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness in this last 10 night. Allah Ta'ala is waiting. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, even if your guna and sins reaches to the extent of the foam in the ocean, or it comes from here till the heavens, and you ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah will forgive you, falahu bali, and it would mean nothing to Allah Ta'ala. And let us continuously ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Since I've made mention of Imam Rumi rahmatullahi alayh, let me conclude with the poem of Rumi. Rumi was Rumi, subhanallah. So Rumi made mention of this particular poem. Even if you break your tawbah 100 times, go to Allah Ta'ala. Doesn't mean you must justify your sin. Sin is no justification. You must always have regret for the wrong that you have done. But if you break your tawbah, go back to Allah Ta'ala. It is like a person who's got clean clothes. Now when the clothes get dirty, he doesn't say, I'm going to close them. This clothes is dirty. I can't do anything with it. What he do? He sends it to the laundry. Or he sends it to get wet washed. It gets washed, it comes back. It gets dirty again. He sends it back again. It gets dirty again, he sends it back. That is how you and I, you make tawbah. We make guna, we go back to Allah Ta'ala. And Rumi has made mention of this in a beautiful poem in the Persian language. Baza, baza, harache hasti baza. Come towards Almighty Allah. Come towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dar kafir o gabro gudparasti baza. Come towards Almighty Allah. You have committed kufr, make tawbah from your kufr. You have committed guna, make tawbah from your guna. You have committed sin, make tawbah from your sin. This is a refuge of hope. It's not a refuge of despondency. Come towards Almighty Allah. Sadbar agar tawbah shakisti. Bazaar. You broke your tawbah 100 times. Come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will we all do this inshallah the last 10 nights? Say, Ya Allah, we ask you for forgiveness. Say, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever, lift up your hands, Ya Allah. Allah, whatever wrong that we have done, Ya Allah, we ask you for forgiveness. We are not proud of the wrongs that we have done. Wallahi, when a person showed, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, Tawbah is regret. The moment we have regret for the wrong that we have done, that is Tawbah. That's the first step towards Tawbah. Tawbah is to say it with your tongue. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. And secondly is regret in the heart. And it manifests itself in your body. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq of making amal wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdi. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Thank you.